Radio. Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio at KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, 7:05 in the morning right here. Hey, our phone number's here, 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com. You can chat with us. Yes, it's up. It's running. We have it under control. Okay, now, quickly, grab a hold of yourself. Kind of look outside because I'm just looking at the news today and all these stories, and I tell you what, there's something crazy going on. There's something in the air. I'm not sure if it's because it's getting cooler. It's supposed to be a great cold snap, but throughout the nation, I've got stories that are just weird today. But something not weird is Bad Bob.
That depends upon your definition of weird.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. You know what? Linda, who has her show tonight on the spot with Linda Bott, is getting ready for that, so it's going to be... You've got me today. You've got me and a great lineup of guests. We're going to be talking about different places to deposit money for troops. We're going to talk about, we're going to have Dr. Doug McConnell on here today. He's going to be talking about a number of things. As you know, Dr. McConnell is a premier heart surgeon here in town. But he is also very, very... has a lot of thoughts and about what's going on in healthcare in this country, and we're going to also have Dr. Meredith of Wellness One of Reading. So it's going to be a big day today. But let's start off with just a couple of things from across the nation that has piqued my interest. Fake doctor in Idaho. I don't know if you've heard about this. Set bond at $100,000 for a Boise woman who they say posed as a physician and duped at least two other women to having their breast examined at a Boise area nightclub. So, anyway, it turns out that there's more to the story. It seems like she's been doing it up and down the state. Turns out, though, is that they're not sure if she is a she. She could be a he, because there was somebody by the same name arrested for petty theft, and said that he was a she, and there was just a mix-up at the jail. They're not sure yet. But this is...
You cannot make this stuff up.
We have people that research this all day long and come up with this. I mean, how do you do that? I mean, hey, I am a doctor. Let me examine you, because it's probably been years since you've had an examination. Just let me do it right here in the bar.
Was alcohol involved?
No. Well, okay. Is any surprise... The Californians want it both ways. That's right. They object to increasing taxes in order to pare the state's massive budget deficit, which, by the way, is huge. Just this year is $6 billion, and next year they're going to be adding on to that. It's going to be $26 billion next year, but don't worry. Jerry Brown's here. Jerry Brown and the Democrats are running the state. They're going to fix it. They said they were. Okay, Californians object to increasing taxes to cut this massive budget deficit. Instead, favor closing this gap through spending cuts. Yeah. But wait, they oppose these cuts and even prefer more spending on programs that make up 85% of the state's general fund obligations, a new poll has said. Californians' firm belief that the state's deficits, estimated last week at nearly $25 billion over the next 18 months, can be squared through trimming waste inefficiencies. Despite tens of billions have been cut from the state budget in recent years, just 25% of the voters believe that state services would have to be curtailed to close the deficit. Well, how come? I mean, how can you cut the deficit, make the budget balance, get all this, unless you do cut programs? Only one in four favored trimming elementary and high schools, which make up almost 42% of the state general fund spending. Just over one-third approved of cuts to state colleges and universities or to state-financed health care for children or the poor. The only state-financed enterprises the voters favored chopping was the prison system, which more than 70% of the voters wanted to cut either minimally or by a large amount. Well, we could cut a lot of it probably by sending illegals someplace. Is there a place that you can, like, is there like a private farm that you could take illegals and send them to?
I subscribe to having them cultivate San Clemente Island and turn it into farmland.
San Clemente Island.
Yes, the one the Navy's been bombing for about 50 years. But it does need to be cleaned up.
Well. Hey, we're going to have to take a quick break here. It's Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Linda is on assignment, getting ready for her show On the Spot with Linda Bott. When we come back, we have, we're going to be talking about what happens if somebody finds out that the president of the student body at a prestigious university shouldn't be here. Join us after these messages. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the morning, November the 18th. Good morning, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming and chatting on KCNR1460.com. As you can probably tell, because the level of intensity has dropped, as Linda's not here. She's getting ready for her show tonight, On the Spot with Linda Bott. She's got a bunch of cool guests, and that's going to be at 6 p.m. And she's also going to be down at the Mount Shasta Mall at Saturday, putting a show on there. They're going to do fashion stuff and, you know, whatever girls do during this time of the year. Let's go to the phones. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Let me guess, Ed. REU.
I'm drive a state. To stay calm, Carl.
Drive a state through REU's heart.
If I actually had to pay an REU bill, you know, I'm a PG&E customer, I would be already screaming at you right now. But anyway, yeah.
What's the matter? You don't want to raise the rate 7.8%?
Well, it's not 7.8%. That's why I'm calling.
Okay, what's it going to be?
I went to the meeting last week.
Yeah.
The city council meeting. They didn't have the actual proposal in front of them when they voted for it.
Uh-huh.
Interesting process. But RU has posted on their website just like yesterday, and I've taken a quick look at the numbers. It's nowhere nearly as comprehensive as I did. You remember you posted that analysis I did 2 years ago?
I did.
But I can give you some bullet points if you like.
Sure.
Should I give you some numbers, some increase rates?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay, well...
Bad Bob, make sure you copy every one of these down.
I'm sorry?
I was telling Bad Bob, make sure he copied them down. So.
Oh.
Or you can send them to me
again. Here's the story. REU bills, the big components of it, are both the charge for the power and the service charge. Now, it's true that they only want a 7.8% increase in the charge for the actual electricity. But there are much higher increases in the service charge. Hey, but the good news is they're changing the name of the service charge. It's now going to be called the network access charge. So that should make you feel better as an REU customer. Anyway, so the increases in the network access charge, as I do the numbers, work out to be in next January 14.86% and January of 11, 13.26%. Now, again, I suggest every REU customer go to that site, REU, look at the slideshow, look at your own bill, and figure out exactly what your bill is going to go up. But for what REU claims is a typical or average customer, a 900-kilowatt customer, this will result in this January, again, these are preliminary numbers. I wouldn't publish them because I have to double-check it. I'm doing financial analysis on a cartoon, which is the way that REU prefers to present this stuff to the city council. But it comes out to be...
Maybe that's so they can understand it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't say that. You did.
As just a joke. Come on. Just a joke.
Then next year for the 900-kilowatt customer. And remember, this is average year-round. Your bill may be 600 kilowatts in the spring and fall and 1,200 in the summer.
Yeah.
But for that averages out. But if it's 900 kilowatts, the increase next January will work out to be in total 8.8%. January of 11, 9.0%. Now, this compounds, just like Einstein said, the miracle of compound interest. So, 13 months from now, for the same amount of electricity, a 900-kilowatt customer will see their bill go up 18.6%.
Well, okay. You know what? We need to crunch some numbers.
You need to do
but 18% in 1 year.
18.6%. Now, but I want to just give me one more number.
Okay.
For a 300 kilowatt customer. Now, that's a low user. That's someone like me with an efficient home, or maybe an apartment, smaller apartment or condo in Reading. Because the fixed rate is a bigger proportion of their bill, the numbers for them work out to be next January 9.9%. January of 11, 11.1%, totaling 23.2% increase in the next 13 months.
For the smaller users.
Yeah. Again, when I called up last time on the subject of RU, and I used the term lying low emission, the 7.8% number isn't wrong, it's just not the whole number.
You know, it's a... The amount's going up. My concerns here are is I understand that numbers are going to go up. I don't understand percentages. I know why is it a certain percentage? You know, can it be less? Can they take money out of their fund? You know, the part that concerns me the most, again, is those people on fixed incomes, the elderly, who are usually in those smaller places. Not always, but, you know, but usually. Is how that is going to impact on them with a 20% raise on that, and then Medicare and Medi-Cal not being accepted by doctors.
I know that's coming up.
Oh no, that whole thing is a mess.
I just want to add that the situation for low income people under REU is even worse, because as you know, both REU and TG&E, all major utilities, have low income programs, but REU limits their low income programs to the elderly and disabled. So the fact of the matter is, while everyone who uses a small amount of electricity is paying a lot more than under REU than PG&E, the fact is, by 2011, people who are low income but don't meet those qualifications, people who are working in service industries, young couples, anyone who isn't 62 or older or disabled, is going to be paying rates in the 50 to 80% higher range for REU than PG&E. So you say, and even the people who are over 62 will be paying far higher rates, the low users, the elderly and disabled, than PG&E.
Well, you know what we're going to do is we'll have one of our city councilors on here in the next week or two before they take the big vote. Let them talk to you about it or listen. We've got to take a break. Ed, you know what? I appreciate you calling in with this because I realize this is your crusade, and I don't mean that in a bad sense.
No, I don't mean that badly.
It
isn't my crusade. That's the point. It's the people who have to pay these bills
who
ought to be looking at this, because they're locking in. You know, it seems like a few dollars, but what this is going to do is lock in for many people hundreds of dollars every year, and it compounds. The other thing they did is, you may not have noticed, they added more rate increases after the original 6 years of 7.8-something. From then on, they raised the rates 3% every year on top of that.
Well, hey, I've got to take a break, but one of those things...
Okay,
here's my question. Here's something you can take a look at. How much is this tied into the new law that we just kept in AB 32, where we're going to have to go to all the renewable energy resources?
Well, that's even better, Carl.
Okay, but I don't have time. I don't have time. We're 3 minutes past the break.
It's not included in these rate increases. Those are additional. That's the bullet point.
Well, see, that's the... Oh, okay. Well, see, that's another huge point.
This is before those increases are put into account.
Okay. All right, Ed, thanks.
Okay.
All right, take a break here. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. 1460 Car Radio, right here in KCNR. 1460 Car and Linda Bott. Linda is on assignment getting ready for On the Spot with Linda Bott. I really like that show. Hey, we're joined by Brian. Do I call you doctor?
Yeah.
Dr. Brian Meredith from Wellness One of Reading. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us about Wellness One.
Wellness One is obviously a wellness office where we offer chiropractic services. We're looking at yoga, physiotherapy, and talking about bringing on a part-time acupuncturist as well.
A part-time acupuncturist.
Correct.
Acupuncturists work?
Correct.
They do. They work?
They work.
Sure.
Oh, yes.
I've had people poke holes in my body before, but I don't think it was for acupuncture. So now, I didn't feel better afterwards. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I've been in practice for about 10 years now. Graduated from Life Chiropractic College West in Hayward, California. Mm-hmm. Raised here in Reading and came back here to my hometown to be with my family.
And so how long have you been in practice here?
For 10 years. We've been in this new location down on Park Marina Drive. You know where you feed the ducks down there?
Yes.
That little area, that's our parking lot. So kind of right on the river there. Everyone seems to know us that way.
Yeah, where all the ducks are right there.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So you're doing a combination of chiropractic and wellness and just kind of, and yoga.
And yoga, and we have massage therapy, a lot of different services. Yeah.
All this right out of your office?
Correct.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, the what would you say that is the main problem facing people when they come in to see you?
When they come to see me, obviously, most of the time people come in with low back pain.
Mm-hmm.
Neck pain would be a close second with that.
Yeah. So has been more lately? I know this sounds like a funny question, but there's been a lot of stress in people's lives here in the last 3 or 4 years.
I've seen a marked decline in people when they come in and how they communicate with me. You can tell their energies are low. They're kicked around, beat up. I think both physically, mentally, and politically, it seems like these days. That's all another
You know,
topic.
It gets to everybody here. You know, what can I say? And pardon my ignorance here, but chiropractic services covered by insurance?
Yeah, we're actually a provider for Blue Cross Blue Shield, all major insurances.
Okay, yeah. And acupuncture, is that covered?
A lot of it is. It depends on the carrier.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Bad Bob, you ever been to an acupuncturist?
No.
Well,
I've been told I should for a Bell's palsy condition, but I've never actually done it.
Oh, I'll poke you with a pin after this is over. So, hey, I know I don't mean to be making fun of it. I went to an acupuncturist once, just once, and probably I understand it's one of those things that you just don't want to do it once. You got to do it like several times. Like,
right, I'm actually
like treatments, you know, any type of treatment that adjusts your body and everything.
Correct.
So,
correct.
Well, what would you have to say, you know, to our, you know, to people out in Reading about wellness and how's that tied into, you know, is this, you know, it's kind of like the whole body concept you're talking about.
It really is. It's not waiting until it's broken to fix it. You're trying to boost your immune function instead of, you know, waiting to take a bunch of medications to try to save your life or to, you know, emergency surgeries, which of course are wonderful, but we want to try to avoid those conditions in the first place. You know, many people have, for example, hardening their arteries. Well, the research is clear. You can take 4 ounces of pomegranate juice a day, and you can reduce your risk of hardening of their arteries by over 48% over the course of 1 year.
Wow.
And that's without medication.
Pomegranate juice.
Just 4 ounces,
you know,
of pomegranate.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, I think I've read someplace. You know, there's a lot of natural medicines that are good for you.
Correct. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So you want to do is stay off the hard drugs if you can.
I try to purport to my patients to try to stay off all of them. I mean, no medications are good for you. I mean, take a bottle of any of them and find out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the key is to do them in moderation and try to endeavor to get off them with natural means.
Okay. Well, we got to take a quick break here. Our guest is a Dr. Brian Meredith, and who has got Wellness One ready. And we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and finish up with a good doctor. And we have a couple other things that we're running in here, too. So, Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl Lindebaugh. 7:33 in the morning. Phone lines here, 605-4567, or we're chatting and streaming on KCNR1460.com. So if you're over in France and listening to us, which some of you are, and you can call us if you want, or you can just chat with us. This portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite, right off Airport Road. Doug Tooley, an American veteran of the 82nd Airborne, is a local guy. He's been in business 15 years, does Dish Satellite. We have Dish Satellite at our house, and Doug put it in with his merry band of installers. No problems with it. We like it. He does great work. If you want to talk to Doug or you talk to Heather, just call 244-1988. Give him a call. You know, this is the time of the year. He's got some great, great deals. And it's almost like free for HD and a bunch of channels. He's giving rebates. It's a great time to get in all those channels so you can start watching all the football games and all the games that are happening all through the seasons, watch all those little Christmas shows that the kids like. At almost nothing, you can get it into your house. Give Doug a call, 244-1988. My guest is Dr. Brian Meredith, and he is a doctor of chiropractic health. Okay, got a couple minutes left there, Brian. What do you want to talk about on as far as the chiropractic, you know, people coming to chiropractors and why they should and all that?
Gotcha. You know, a lot of people think of chiropractic care as just popping a bunch of bones and things like that. In all reality, we're more in charge of taking care of the nervous system and how the nervous system and the brain and everything is functioning, coordinating vital functions to the body. When you have bones that can be out of position or creating nerve interference, you can actually disrupt how the body is functioning. Of course, everyone knows this for back pain and all those kind of things as well.
It is. It's nerve things that you can, they can be adjusted and all that.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. I know people that swear by going there, you know, every week and getting adjusted and all those things.
Right.
And other people that they just don't do it.
Right. It's some people, when they may have a bad experience, you know, they may not return to the chiropractor. We found someone has a bad experience with their physician. It's not they're not going to stop going to the physician. There's a little bit of inherent bias out there, but we've overcome it pretty well in our office. People come in our office. There's definite goals of treatment. We'll be able to demonstrate on X-ray the changes that occur inside your spine.
Okay. All right, Dr. Brian Meredith from Wellness One. And where can they find you again?
2515 Park Marina Drive, number 101.
Okay, so that's on Park Marina Drive, out there where the ducks are.
Correct.
Or the Canadian geese, right?
Right.
So, okay. Well, Dr. Meredith, thanks for coming in here today and sharing with us, sharing with the audience, kind of a total health and wellness thing.
Right.
So, all right, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. CNR 1460, it's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:40, November the 18th. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming on KCNR 1460. Bob, I don't know if anybody's chatting, but get in there and start a fight.
Gotta go.
Okay. Hey, our guest today, Yvonne Preston from the American Red Cross. And Yvonne is here to talk about something we can do for the troops.
Yes, absolutely. We are having a drive-a-thon tomorrow at the convention center from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. And we are collecting money to purchase phone cards for the troops so that they can call home during the holidays.
Okay, let me talk about this. Let's talk about these phone cards. You know, when I first went into the Marine Corps, you know, back when we were still using muskets, we didn't have to worry about that. We didn't worry about phone cards. I know that in the 1990 during Desert Shield, Desert Storm, the only way we got a hold of people was through mail. There were computers, of course, but it was mail. And then you'd line up for a long time if there was a phone anywhere, to use. As technology progressed, so did phones and the email. However, now that there's phones for our troops and literally even cell phones that people have set up, it still costs money to make those phone calls home.
That's right. It does.
And so you're providing a great service here to our warriors out there that are deployed.
Yes. Yes, our heroes.
Yeah. Okay, Yvonne, has the Red Cross done this before here, or is this new?
This is our first annual event here at the Reading Chapter.
Okay. Has it been done before?
It has, and it's actually, people can actually purchase the phone cards via our website at redcross.org. So it's just up and coming, and it's out there and available for anybody who'd also like to purchase online.
So what is the cost of a phone card?
$20 per phone card.
And how many minutes is that?
That gives us roughly about 60 minutes.
Oh, okay, 60 minutes for $20. Now, the way it works is they'll go over there and there'll be phone banks, and our warriors will go in and They'll call a certain number, then they have to give their card number, and then they're connected home.
That's right.
It's a good deal, especially during the holidays like this when they get a chance to call. It's not all the time, as you saw in Restrepo the other night. So many of our neighbors and community members went to see that, to see show that there's not always the ability to call home. And when they did have that chance, when they got back to a larger outpost, they used that. You know, they talked about, they called home. And they also wrote, of course. But calling is a quick way to be able to tell your family that you're okay.
Very comforting. Yeah. Very comforting for not only the soldiers but the families to hear a voice.
Okay, Vaughn, tell us a little bit about you. I mean, work for the Red Cross. You're not just a volunteer.
That's right. I do. Yes. Right here in Reading. We're over on Oregon Street is where our office is located.
And you're not a long time Reading resident, but you've been here 5-6 years.
Right. That's right. Going on 6 years, yes.
So why'd you come to Reading?
Well, there was a job transfer way back when, and so that's how I ended up here in this beautiful place. Just love it.
Well, you know, it is a beautiful place. And so, I know you've only been working at the Red Cross just for a short period of time, but how do you like that? Are you interacting a lot with the community here?
Yes, we are. We're trying to get out there in the community. It's been 3 weeks, so it hasn't been a very long time. But it's the Red Cross is just a wonderful organization. We do so much for local disaster assistance as well as many components with our military. And it's just a great organization. We really like it.
I'm pretty sure it's the Red Cross that you work through for emergency notifications.
That's right.
That, you can't do anything. In fact, I had emergency leave when I was stationed in Iraq this last time, in the sense that my mother was passing away. And everybody waits for the Red Cross notification. And Red Cross is the one that everybody calls. And that's the number that everybody calls to be able to get the word to the deployed military.
That's right. Yes, we do. Red Cross's motto on the first day of my first training was that baby's not born until Red Cross says it is. So we pass along lots of notes. And, of course, the birth announcements are our favorites.
Yeah. how can... okay, now, so tomorrow you're going to have a drive-through at the convention center.
That's right.
And people can just drop off money.
That's right.
Checks. Things like that. Drop off their credit cards.
That's right.
And they can do you take credit cards?
We
no,
don't.
No, okay.
No, of course not.
But if they drop them off, you'll
yes.
be glad to
online
use them.
Only.
Yeah. Do you know what kind? This is a question that just came in. What brand of phone card? Do you know what kind they buy at all?
You know, I don't. They would be able to look that up online. That's a great question.
Okay, because some of our listeners have got certain kinds, and they were just wondering if those were good. I know that you can buy a lot of these cards at a lot more expensive rates than that to call over to Europe and to the Middle East. So $20 gets 60 minutes for a deployed one of our deployed
that's right.
warriors.
That's right.
Well, that's great. Now, so how long will this be going on? The drive
until 1 o'clock.
I know.
It's a drive-through.
Right,
so
I know, but I mean, is it just a one-day thing?
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
it
okay.
Yes.
It's a one-day thing.
Yes.
And but for the drive-through, but they can still go online.
Absolutely.
Now, is there an end date on that, or is that tomorrow too? It's just a one-day thing for everything.
It's through the holiday. There's a special holiday catalog for our soldiers. There's lots of gifts that we can purchase. People can purchase online for our soldiers.
And now, are the gifts then sent to the deployed warriors
there?
They are.
They are.
Okay, so if I buy something, then you all will send it over there.
That's
all
right.
Part of the package
That's
deal.
Right.
I just have to give you an address.
That's right. It's through the holiday giving catalog that Red Cross has.
Where
online.
Do we get these?
You can get them online. You can get them at the Red Cross here in Reading. You can call us, and we will be happy to send one out to you. And we'll also have them at tomorrow's event.
Okay.
To give away to all the donations that come through.
Super. That's great. Well, Yvonne Preston from the American Red Cross right here in Reading. Any last thoughts here or anything else you want to get out to the people?
No, you know, I'd just like to say that loose change really does add up this time of year and for our troops. And, you know, our heroes are not only our heroes, but they're also mommies and daddies. And it's very comforting for children to be able to talk to mommy or daddy during the holidays. And so we just want to keep that in mind. Oftentimes I think they're forgotten, a little more forgotten, as we hurry through the Christmas season. So we just appreciate and thank anybody who is willing to come out and empty their loose change out of their wallets.
Well, that's great. So, okay, that's tomorrow at the Convention Center. It goes from 6 o'clock in the morning till 1 p.m. And the American Red Cross is going to be collecting your loose change, your dollar bills, will take checks, and all of this goes to pay to buy phone cards for our deployed families in the military, our military families that are gone during the Christmas season, the holiday season, so they can call home. That's great. Well, thank you so much, and you know, welcome to the show. And
thank you.
Come back anytime, because the American Red Cross does a whole lot of great things that we support also.
Yes, thank you so much.
You bet. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. Charlie Thompson's on the line, and we're going to talk to Charlie about what's still needed for Christmas for the troops. That's a big night on Saturday. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 43 degrees out there. It's going to be a high of 57. Got a chance of rain today, my friends. Tonight, 40% chance of showers. Friday, looks like it's going to be raining. Friday night, it's going to be raining. Saturday, raining. Saturday night, Sunday, maybe, and Sunday night. So, I hope you enjoyed yesterday and enjoy today. There's still a chance of getting some rain. You know, the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards right out there, heading toward Shingletown, about 12 miles outside Palo Cedro. Great food, great ambiance. Tomorrow night, even though that there's a chance of rain out there, it never rains too much out there on Anselmo's, Linda will be performing out there with her trio that she just loves to sing with, and it's going to be a great night out there. And let's go to the phones here. Hey, Charlie, good morning.
Good morning, Carl and Linda.
Linda is on assignment this morning. She's getting ready for her show tonight.
Oh, excellent. See, I just gave myself up that I haven't been listening.
Well, that's okay, so goodbye, Charlie. Oh, okay, Charlie,
I just got up.
You know, oh, it doesn't even sound like that. You know, yeah. You clear your throat and get a cup of coffee there, Charlie.
I know.
Okay, Charlie, you're calling about the Christmas for the troops.
Yes.
Okay, what else do we need?
We need toiletries. That is, you know, we were up real late last night working on it and getting things organized, and we need desperately toiletries. We have great amount of snacks and tea and jerky and all that stuff.
When you say toiletries, what do you mean exactly by that?
Shampoo and conditioner. And they don't have to be the tiny travel sizes, but just not the big ones, so like the 8-ounce size, maybe the 10-ounce size.
Okay.
Shampoos, conditioners, shaving creams, razors, those kind of things.
Okay. All right, so everybody, where do they deliver it to?
They deliver it to 1217 Pueblo Court. It's available on the internet at christmasforthetroops.org.
christmasforthetroops.org. So you got cookies, yeah. you got I know that Tobacco and Brew came in yesterday Tuesday, I think. 500.
They all run together, I know.
I know, 500 separate packages of stuff, plus candy, plus other stuff. I mean, you know, what, you know, Tobacco and Brew, Joe and Shelley, what are you going to say about that? I mean, and the girls that were, you know, that worked there, put all these together for our troops.
I know. When I told one of the soldiers that I work with, who is a combat soldier, that they had done that, he just thought that was excellent. He said, "Oh my gosh, it is going to be a Christmas for the troops."
Yeah. Well, you know, and so many other people are given to this. Okay, so you need shampoo. You don't need toothpaste. You need shampoo, conditioner. Well, I don't know how many male soldiers, Marines, and sailors out there in Afghanistan, Iraq really need conditioner, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. Mostly just, actually, you know, you're right, mostly just shampoo. We've got plenty of conditioner for the females.
Okay.
Deodorant, need that.
Okay. Are you saying something, Charlie?
Yes.
Okay.
It's hot out there.
Okay, so shampoo, deodorant, how about hand sanitizing stuff?
And hand sanitizer. You know, it was funny. Last year we got more hand sanitizer than you could even count, and this year we only had not enough. So.
Okay, so we'll get a few more of those. You can go out. There's a couple of stores in town that have inexpensively priced items that would fit in there. You just go down and spend $40 or $50, and you could fill up 50 boxes. Okay. Hey, Charlie, thanks a lot. Now, if Saturday night's a big night, make sure you call us tomorrow.
Outstanding. Sure will do.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Carl.
You bet, Charlie. Thank you. Okay, hey, you know, in the next hour, we're going to have Dr. Doug McConnell is going to be in here. We're going to be discussing, I want to discuss what's going on with the Medicare and what's going. We talked a little bit about it yesterday about the cuts, the possible cuts in the payments for Medicare and what this is going to do. And I talked to somebody yesterday who's a doctor, relatively young, retiring as soon as they can sell their practice, and they may not even do that because it's just not worth the hassle they're getting, and. Looking at the new health care plan, which nobody really knows the impact on everybody, except that if you're a huge company and you go, hey, we're opting out, they get a waiver. How many waivers have been given on this health care plan to big companies? And I bet you that smaller companies are not going to get that waiver. Oh, no. See, transparency in government. Thank you, President Obama. And speaking of which, Nancy Pelosi, is still ahead of the Democrats in Congress. You know what? I think, personally, Bad Bob, that's great. Rewarded for great work, she was. You know what? And I thoroughly... What's that? What's that I hear? Oh, I can hear you say that. That's okay. Anyway, I hope that she leads them to the final victory in 2012. That's right. Hear that the Democrats suffered the worst... That's okay, Bob. The worst defeat since 1938, and a lot of it, of course, was under Pelosi's leadership. She was the type of person that could just draw ire from everybody, so that they rewarded her again with being head of the Democrats in Congress. Oh, well. Now, the next thing is, I hope everybody, and is everybody, I don't want to raise your blood pressure, so some of you out there should sit down, but Pedro Ramirez, 22, is a bright young man. He's president of the student body at Fresno State University. He's also an illegal alien, and the school officials knew about it. Pedro didn't want to say anything because he was concerned about his status. Why? Why should you be concerned, Pedro? You're getting in-state tuition. You're probably going to be, after you've made this, become a hero, a folk hero of the nation. You're probably going to get extra grants. You're going to probably get into Harvard now. Do you think actually something's going to be done because you're here illegally in California? No, I don't think so. And do you actually think that one of the ways to help balance the budget and cut billions out is to withhold money from people here illegally? No, that's not going to happen. Do you think we're going to stop maybe plug up some of the holes in the border? No, that's not going to happen. Pedro, what do you care? Are you kidding? Put in for another grant. Say, I want the illegal immigrant grant to pay for my school. It'll happen. Well...
Hey, the border's secure. We've got the Incredible Hulk down in Arizona helping cover the border now. Did you hear that story?
Yeah, I heard Lou Ferrigno, whatever his name is. He's going down. He's working for the Sheriff's Department. He's kind of like Steven Seagal. Two guys whose careers have tanked, and now they're on reality TV. I'm not sure about this. Hey, Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. We're going to take a break, and we come back. Dr. Doug McConnell is here. We're going to get into a spirited discussion about what our government does for us in medical care or lack thereof.
KZNR Shasta Redding.
In our radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 8:05 in the morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567, or you can chat with us at KCNR1460.com. Linda's not here. She is getting ready for tonight's show, On the Spot with Linda Bott. She's just got a whole bunch of guests and and frivolity that she does, and she has a great time. It's a great show. Hey, our weather today is 44 degrees, and it looks like we have a chance of showers today. It's going to be a high of 57 tonight. Another, the showers are still a chance. A little bit more tomorrow and over the weekend. And the cold weather is coming in. It's going to be a high on Saturday of 46, a low of 38, and high on Sunday of 45. If you can believe the National Weather Service, a member of the government, or is that too something that they're just saying to us like the many other things? Hey, I want you to hang on and sit down and grab your phones. And this is, I'm looking forward to, I look forward to all segments of the show. But we've got Dr. Doug McConnell here. And yesterday we talked about what was going to happen to Medicare, Medi-Cal, something that we have been talking about on this station for as long as we've been broadcasting, which is, by the way, my friends, going to be a year next month. Oh. Yeah, I know. Imagine that. And Dr. Doug McConnell has been one of the ones that's been on our station warning what was going to happen. And under the Obama plan, under the Obama health care plan, and some of the sleight of hand Obama is using and his minions who have him, most of them still don't even understand the health care bill, have used. Well, it started yesterday. I mean, it started, a year ago. It's starting to manifest itself now. Dr. Doug McConnell, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Carl. I always look forward to seeing you. Actually, like to see Linda Moore, but I'm sorry she's not here.
The story of my life.
I'll try to fill in. But, it's great to be here with you, and I'd love to discuss this issue because it's close to my heart. I've been a cardiac surgeon for, since I started my training at UCLA last century. But cardiac surgeons, not only are we in the forefront of technology and healthcare development for particularly the seniors and particularly the Medicare group, most of what we do by definition is related to interacting with the government through either Medicare or Medi-Cal because the most cardiac disease tends to be with the senior population. So this issue has been important to our societies and to me personally, but this affects most of the patients I see.
Well, the thing that we've been talking about since the beginning, and let's talk a little bit about you.
Yes,
there, Doc.
All right.
You've only lived here a couple of years. You just come up in the last 2 years, haven't you? From Long Beach.
I came up intermittently starting in 2006 to cover for another surgeon in town, but I moved here full time a year ago, July. So 18 months, and my wife and I are both enjoying the town and the people, particularly the Reading community. And but it's been a full time job for nearly 18 months at this point. And we're enjoying that. I'm down at Shasta Regional Medical Center, and we've reestablished a good cardiac surgical program with the good cardiologists that are there. So we're with all the cardiologists.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just a good hospital, good people, good nursing, good medical staff. It's a little gem that I was glad to come from Long Beach to participate in and help direct the cardiac surgical program.
And, just as an aside here, the good doctor is an incredible photographer.
I try. I'm learning every day. In fact, I was up this morning. Was not the best of sunrises, but Reading is blessed with good weather, good scenery, good people, and it's a great town and the environs for photography, so it's a natural.
Well, you've presented to us a couple of your photos, suitable for framing, by the way, of at Sundial Bridge on 4th of July, and with fireworks going off. Absolutely beautiful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
And I've seen some of your work hanging in different little art galleries around here, too.
There's been a few people purchase some stuff for an office and so forth, but it's I really haven't yet. I hope to get into art hop, frankly, just to enjoy interacting with people. A good photographer and artist loves to interact with and see people enjoy their work, but also to learn from what people find good, bad, ugly, whatever. So you only get better by showing your work and talking to the people that are looking at it.
Okay, well, we start off easy. We got to take a quick break here. But when we come back, we're going to start talking about what's going on in our medical care, what are the changes, what is the huge impact in it, and my friends, it will be huge if some things don't change really quick.
I think if I can leave an image as we depart, it's Thelma and Louise, last scene, the two young ladies in a car headed for a cliff. That is where we should start.
Okay, well, we haven't quite reached the cliff yet, but we're going there really fast, and we're holding hands.
You know what happened at the end of that movie.
There you go. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bach, good morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're chatting at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley have a greatest humidor to go in there for cigars and all types of tobacco products, plus Espresso Joe's, where you can get, you know, the coffee of your choice, fixed a certain way, fixed any way you want by the girls working there, and also have a community room. Now, right now at Tobacco and Brew, they've got a fundraiser going on that they've got a very, very select cigar brand, and you can buy two of them at a time, and you give a donation, and you get these cigars specially packaged. And all the money goes to help those less fortunate. So just go on down to Tobacco and Brew and ask them about that special, the special donation cigars they have, or the special prices on these cigars. It's a great place to go. You know, the good doctor just got a phone call and he's outside. So I don't know if he's going to be back with us or not. You know, when you're a cardiac surgeon, you're always on call.
Yes. Well, while we're waiting for the doctor to come back, interesting story last night about... And it's an interesting social trend. Bill Nye, the science guy, was giving a presentation at USC.
Yeah, I saw that.
Collapses on stage. Instead of people going to his assistance, here's a fellow human being, who falls down.
Right.
And what do these students do? They haul out their smartphones and immediately tweet the incident, take pictures and all that. And then it occurred to somebody several minutes later to actually help this man. How weird is that?
Yeah, that's very weird. Okay, I believe our doctor's back for a bit.
Yes, it is. I'm sorry. That's the beauty of Reading. I just had to talk to someone in the cath lab and take care of something, and someone I'm going to see shortly, but doing fine.
Okay, well, don't let us keep you here.
No. If I have an emergency, I'd truly leave. But,
well, you know, if I feel chest pressure, I don't want you to leave, but you know, it's usually because Linda is standing on my chest and jumping up and down, telling me to behave myself. Okay, what really has brought all this to a head right here is the fact that in something we've been talking about, they're getting ready to cut 23% from Medicare.
Well, 23%, more specifically, the physician reimbursement rates are to be cut 23% January 1st, 2011.
The impact on medicine.
Well, I think you have to understand, I'll speak from my experience, you got to realize this is 23% on top of several years of reduction in reimbursement, particularly for surgeons such as myself. Currently, what I get paid is 28% of what we were paid to do a coronary bypass in 1996.
So you're getting paid 28% of what you used to be paid
in the 12 years between 1996 and 2008. The federal government has cranked down the reimbursement to cardiac and cardiovascular surgeons by 56% on the check, you know, what you see on the front of the check, corrected for inflation, which means you add reduction on that. It's a 72% pay cut for each operation. So we're now cruising for each operation, collecting in our offices, to give our office managers to pay our overhead, a check that's 28% smaller for a four-vessel coronary bypass. That's a fact. That's all... You know, it's not. You can look that up. That's all in the federal payment. So on top of that 28%, they're now coming along and saying we want to reduce that level of reimbursement by an additional 21% of that 28%.
Okay, so are you giving 28% less care to your patients?
No, 72% is the cut.
Yeah.
Not at all. In fact, the patients that we operate on today are actually sicker and more complex than they were in 1996 because of aggressive management in coronary artery disease, what we call STEMIs, emergency surgeries, and so forth have altered. So there's quite a shift in the patients, the diabetics. Most of the people we're operating on are only three-vessel coronary disease, so it's gotten to be more complex and more challenging for much less pay. But I think stepping back from just my practice, you got to realize that this 23% is money that was purposely left out of the bill when it was presented to the Congressional Budget Office when the Senate and the House were both looking at what Obamacare was estimated to cost over a decade. This was left out intentionally. They knew they were going to have this cut. That was designed to get the bill under this magic number of $800 billion so that they could jump up and down and tell you this was budget neutral and wasn't going to cost us any new revenue, any new money. If you remember how that was passed, they said, oh, good, we got back the scoring from the CBO, and that we'll be okay. We can afford this. It's not going to cost us new money. And, in fact, it's budget neutral, and there may be some savings in it, if you remember
right.
that.
They didn't want to get that $1 trillion. They didn't want to hit that $1 trillion.
That is correct.
So they were not essentially – well, they were. They were putting in this under conditions that were impossible, plus this.
They're correct, meaning that they would have to know politically that if you walk up to the medical profession in America and said, we're going to now pay you 23% less – that access to Medicare for seniors would suddenly be altered throughout the country rather quickly. That would be a politically non-sustainable. So they basically allowed this all to go forward, lied to the American public when they talked about what it was really going to cost, because they knew they had this built-in 23% pay cut. And we're now hitting the deadline. That's the Thelma and Louise cliff. The question everybody is going to face soon, are they going to truly turn to the physicians of America and say, well, for taking care of seniors now, we're going to be paying you a substantially cut fee over whatever we've been doing as well, and see how that goes? Or are they going to borrow the money from the Chinese or somebody else who's funding us? Because they have no option. It's either mess up access, because physicians will stop or certainly reduce seeing Medicare patients, because how can they maintain the same access and level of Medicare processing if the patient suddenly has this attached reduced revenue? Remember, this is a price-fixed process. They tell you what they will pay you for a patient.
Yeah, I mean, as an insurance cost, but, you know, sometimes then we pay the difference in that. But this is, we've got to take a break here. But one of the things is that now doctors will then start opting either to have people pay up front or not take Medicare.
Well,
is that true?
There'll be that role. It'll be a question of it, depending upon physicians and what they do in orthopedists, or other services. I mean, will they try to shift to other lines of business that basically can help them maintain their overhead? Meanwhile, remember, when I've been getting the 72% per case reduction, my overhead's been rising over 12 years. I haven't had any employees that want less money, and the landlords from which I lease office space in Long Beach and then up here. So what you're going to do, though, is see, like, a couple physicians I know of in town here are just closing their practices in January, and they're becoming hospitalists. So there'll be no phone number to call to see a particular doctor who's a family practitioner or an internal medicine. They can come up with alternate forms of employment or lifestyle, particularly these offices will just gradually glow. So it won't be a great convulsion. There'll just be some phone numbers that don't exist anymore. So the actual avenues for care and access will diminish in America. It's got to.
Okay, we need to take a break, but one of the things I want to get into when we get back, there's a couple of questions here from the chat room, but is this a way to force people into a national healthcare system? Because if a doctor wants to be paid at all, he's got to be a member of this, and now he has to take people. That's just a question I want to throw out now, but we'll talk about that when we get back. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. It's 44 degrees, 825. Linda is on assignment getting ready for her show tonight on The Spot with Linda Bott. Begins at 6 p.m. right here. A lot of things going on. Our guest is Dr. Doug McConnell. We're talking about the huge impact on the latest announcement, or the fact is that fees are being cut again on Medicare and the severe impact that can have on people. Now, one of the things we were talking about during the break is it's not just the fees, but it's also now it's replenishing our supply of doctors, how that's going to affect it.
Well, correct. I mean, as I said, as an established physician, I can work my overhead and so forth and begin to tolerate some of the cuts that have accumulated today. I'm not sure about the future cuts. But what's really happening is that this is herding physicians out of private practice offices where your overhead keeps rising. And if you're seeing seniors or people on government aid like Medi-Cal, Medicaid, in other states, there's a point where you can't make your overhead. And so while President Obama may have promised everybody you'll keep your doctor, well, he may not be there. The question is, how does he sustain what is really a small business practice, namely the private practice, pay for the answering services and the receptionists and all the space it takes to do this? In my
insurance?
Well, medical practice insurance, yeah. Malpractice insurance certainly is always an issue. But what you're going to find is that physicians will change their structure of employment and go into either large groups, stop renting offices, and their availability will change rather remarkably, and then they'll go into business structures where they're off-call at 5, and there's no one to answer. You know, there'll be an on-call doctor who you may never have heard of. It's going to change the fundamental nature of how we practice medicine. So rather than telling people up front that the government and future healthcare structures we're going to prevent you from seeing your doctors, what you'll find, they're just not there. In my field in cardiac surgery, approximately 1/4 to 1/3 of the residencies have no applicants. And it takes 8 to 10 years after medical school to create a cardiac surgeon. And even then, there's some learning you keep doing in the early years. So what's happened is the spigot has been turned off a long time ago with people looking down the line and seeing this enforced governmental control and constriction of private practice. So no one with debt is going to come out of a medical school and sign up for an 8-year training program at which your future obligation or employment opportunities or ability to create your own practice and business is gone.
To make a decent living, it's much easier
just to take a short 2-3 year residency and become, you know, do a different type of construct,
right,
of practice.
A question came in from the chat room that, why do doctors charge inflated prices to seniors on Medicare?
Well,
I
can speak from my practice. You can have only one billing structure in your office. It's called a charge master, and you have to that you will generate the same charge, quote unquote, which is something that's entered into a computer system for a particular service. So for a surgeon, let's say it's going to be a knee replacement, or for me, a coronary bypass. You already know that the feds have, since I'm a participating physician with Medicare, trying to be a good guy and take care of the seniors, they'll dictate to you exactly what they'll pay, and that's going to be $1,950 no matter what you do. So you can charge whatever you want. So the charges that people see really reflect a different environment of how the billing is created. It's a little bit like hospital charges. Then everybody contract and every insurance company gets discounts off that. But in truth, both the insurance companies and Medicare will tell you what you get paid. It's all price fixed. We have very little ability to do that if you're taking a contracted in that program. If you're doing basically straight up fee for service for some specialized procedure, which this is really why varicose veins and breast implants and rhinoplasties are popular, because you can come up with your rate with your patient directly.
Okay. So for the seniors under Medicare or Medi-Cal, these are fixed rates.
Yeah, the bill will give you a number, but then your obligation generally disappears.
Right. Okay. All right, we got to take a break here for the news. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Dr. Doug McConnell. We're talking about the cuts that are blooming over our ability to get quality medical service. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's 44 degrees. It's going to get up to maybe 55 today. Looks like we're going to have stormy weather here coming up over the weekend, but the weather is always good up at Anselmo's, and the weather is brought to you by Anselmo's Vineyard. Great food, great service, great ambiance, and Linda's going to be singing up there tomorrow night, and with her favorite trio, jazz trio. We're going to have a great time. I'm going to be up there, of course. So join us up there. You need to make reservations. Just, you know, call Anselmo's Vineyard. Say you want to be in the music room. And it's usually full. It's almost always full for those nights of song.
Dr. McConnell has been up there before doing this and taking photos, which, you know, kind of...
it's always a great evening.
So, hey, one of the things we talked about, Doug, and this to me is huge, with the cut, what this will end up doing, and is this could drive a lot of doctors out of private practice into working at clinics or at the hospitals, and then your doctor that you're used to calling up, you're not going to have that ability anymore. Now you said doctors no longer own the patients. What's that mean?
Well, I own might be the too strong word. What I'm getting at is that when you open up your practice, you have your availability and your ability is what you basically hang your reputation on. I mean, you basically mm-hmm. and you have to your colleagues in the medical community know upon whom they can depend and how to get the referral, particularly as a specialist like I am. So you basically create a reputation, and you own the patients, you own your outcomes, you basically, your personal reputation with the medical community stands on your work and your reputation, much, I'm sure, true in the legal community. Once you basically have the physicians going to work as employees of large clinics, there's a dilution of that to where the physicians, at the worst case, could just come in and work a shift. They don't own the patient. The patient belongs to the system. It's not their patient. There's something to be said about in a personal service business like medicine, and particularly specialty medicine, where you really basically, these patients are yours. You recognize them. So when I say own, that's what I mean. You own
that's
the good,
yeah,
and the bad and the outcomes here, right, really belong to you, and you basically are the one directly relating to the patient and the family. And that's, I've always been very strong on that point, that you really get to know the family and the patients. But that's all going to be diluted. It's like going to a store, and you just the
family store that we used to go into is now
a
big box store. Yeah. Now the other thing too is you could probably use something like the VA clinic here.
Well, I don't want to knock the VA.
No, I'm not knocking it, because I go there. I've had great care, but I can be seen by anybody, even though it's whoever I'm in this group. Now I am seen by the same doctor, but they can move that around.
It can be altered, and there are on the other side of that, those physicians basically aren't having to carry their own office overhead or
hiring
and firing people or receptionists or worrying about answering services and all the things I have to do. So in some ways there's strengths in that. But the truth is it's very important in medicine, I think, for the physicians to have a personal relationship and have a responsibility to the patient and the family for the outcomes and directly, not just see the patient as being the next person in the system for me to take. And by the way, I go off duty at 5:00, and the covering guy tonight will take over at 6:00, and I'll see you later. You know, that you basically have to extend yourself and your availability to really, I think, that's what medicine's been founded on. That's all going to get diluted and taken away as government alters the type of practice. And this pay cut piece cannot enhance access to health care for Medicare patients, certainly, and certainly is likely to alter that, and certainly will push people into a different structure or model of practice, which is, I think, people are going to notice quite precipitously.
I know that we have in TRICARE.
Yeah.
I still fall into the VA because of recent combat tours.
Well,
but my wife does, and trying to find one that takes TRICARE in the area is not simple, and you switch from TRICARE to Medicare at age 65,
yeah,
and there's many of the physicians here that will not accept new Medicare patients, or they make you pay up front because it takes so long to get their money.
Well, Medicare actually has enhanced its payment processes. I've always taken and seen TRICARE patients. Now, the interesting piece about the VA is it swims in a pretty much a full service, but the truth is it doesn't have many specialists that are actually VA full-time docs. So
right. It
depends on the hospitals in town like Shasta Regional or Mercy to have invested in cardiac surgical services for emergent treatment and urgent treatment of veterans. The VA depends upon the intensive care units in this city that have been really purchased and built by other people.
You do not go to the VA clinic for
an
emergency.
So you have to realize the VA, while it certainly is a good standalone system, but it sits on top of really the private practice of medicine, because it's not a full service system for this Northern California. You have to travel quite a ways. In fact, I think the only closest place you can possibly get any sort of cardiac surgery is in San Francisco or Palo Alto for the entire northern state. Well, that's hardly the access of today's structure for a veteran who's getting crushing substernal chest pain. There better be a private cardiologist and an intensive care unit and a hospital and an ER doctor and people locally to take care of you with crushing chest pain. So the VA gets sort of a pass on this nice system, but the truth is it's not the tight infrastructure that's needed for critical care.
Oh, no, and you're absolutely right here. When I say the VA clinic, that's exactly what it is. And it says in big signs right up in front, this is not an emergency, this is not an emergency facility. If you've got something, you need to go to the hospital.
And
this is you can walk in there and be treated on, you know, for eye care, and you can and you know, your regular physicals and all that, but yeah.
Well, what I'm getting at is that, and the VA does what it does very well in town here. I've been impressed with the docs I've talked to in the system. But the VA system is really a highly regionalized, sparse system when you get into high-end care. And you have to travel hundreds of miles to get it. And that's not what the American public is used to seeing for what they call their healthcare system, particularly in my world of critical cardiac care. It's supposed to be real close. And the government keeps promising that, you know. So the truth, the VA system is a system if you're inside one of their major medical centers, but they're limited. And so it's the true backbone and strength of American high-end care is pretty much private practitioners, some universities scattered around the major cities. But when you get outside the big cities, you're talking about basically local physicians and local hospital boards and administrators that have invested in the time and the facilities so that you can get the care you need to survive an impending heart attack here in Redding or extending on over to Mount Shasta and so forth.
Right.
And we're here. The VA isn't for critical care by design. So it helps their budget because they don't have to find a VA cardiologist and a VA emergency room sitting here 24 hours a day. We've provided that. That is going to be stressed. That piece of that infrastructure is going to morph when you start sucking money out of it. And that's a big problem for our, what we call the American healthcare system, which is a patchwork of these pieces.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break here. And it's, you know, when you think that, you know, think about our healthcare system and then think about what's happening to it. And you know, every time we talk, you know, reductions here, reductions there, and now this big one, you know, the impact this can have. It's, I don't think people have any idea what the next 5 years could be if these things go through. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bott, 8:46 in the morning. 605-4567 or chat with us on KCNR 1460. Linda's not here. She's got a show tonight at On the Spot with Linda Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right there off Athens Avenue, D.C. Tim and that mysterious man in black. You have great haircuts, great prices, and if you're a veteran, you get a discount. You walk in there, there's these strange-looking animal heads on the wall, and then there is the TV set, of course, that has nothing on it that has Oprah or any of those. It's it's man's last stronghold. Okay, I'll say it, man's last stronghold. It's written on their window, so I can say that. Go in there, get a great haircut, great conversation. That's Cypress Square Barbershop, right there off Athens Avenue. Guest is Dr. Doug McConnell, and we're talking about the future of our health care with all these cuts coming on, and is the government driving us into something? But, Doug, you wrote to all of our representatives with your concerns on this.
I did, back in the fall of 2009, as this was being taken up in the Senate and then later in the House of Representatives, because of this very obvious 21% pay cut that was assumed into the scoring of the bill. This was an outright lie because politically that really can't go forward short of a upheaval in the American system. So I wrote to to Senator Feinstein as well as to Senator Boxer from our state, and received a, basically pointing out that, you know, this is all smoke and mirrors. You guys are claiming this is going to be about $800 billion cost over a decade and thus, quote, not be budget neutral. But the truth is there's $260 billion in cuts assumed to happen to the medical care, medical profession after these cumulative 8 years of cuts. I said that's not going to happen politically or functionally without some basically revolution amongst the Medicare subscribers. And I got back a nice letter from Dr. Feinstein, from Senator Feinstein in February. It took a while. And it was nicely worded, but the truth was she really then moved quickly into the letter to just talking about how it's important to cover the uninsured, and which are certainly good issues. But she really would not address the fact that this entire presentation to the American public by the congressional leadership was based on this lie, or not the lie about the fact that, yes, we to make this bill fit, we cut out $260 billion for your physicians, and they'll take it, and everything will be okay. Well, no, it's either going to have to borrow the money to keep the pay constructs exactly as they are now, which are already considered to be below what sustains the practices, or you're going to have to basically come up with a way to or turn around to the seniors and say, I'm sorry, but Medicare access is now totally screwed up because we're not paying for it and we expect the doctors to provide service for that discount and free. And they're probably not going to take that one on politically, but we'll have to see.
Well, already we're seeing, you know, doctors closing their practices. And
correct.
And what I've read is that by the amount of doctors anyway that are retiring, either through age or they've had enough or whatever, is that we can't even keep up with that demand with the amount of graduates of universities. Is that true?
Well, I'm a cardiac surgeon, and I have a practice with in town here. And at one time, we were a group of five cardiac surgeons in Long Beach. Everyone has retired, the three senior guys, and the there's no remaining capital with which we can hire a new graduate from any training program. So there's no refurbishment or replenishment of the practice, at least our practice. And that's true of a lot of other practices, because there used to be three tiers in any practice, the senior guys, the middle guys, and the new grads. And then you would move through, and every 10 years, 15 years, you would replenish with new people. That's pretty much for most practices, but that's not happening anymore at all. And just as the baby boomers are hitting the senior years, then you'll basically be finding nobody in the pipeline in these technical specialties, or at least a reduction, or the specialties will be refocusing on a different class of people or people that aren't seniors. So just at the very moment that we're having the baby boom generation becoming the increased demand of Medicare, we're turning around to a shrinking population of physicians and saying, well, we're also going to pay you less. Now, how is that going to work out? I'm not an economist, but I am a student of people, and it just can't help the system work if we're basically starving the process of capital and funds.
And it's all a political thing. That's the whole thing was a political
way. Well, it's political and economics. The point is that health care has become complex, and everybody demands excellent health care, and now we have an expanding portion of our population demanding excellent health care. And we, as a nation, probably need to have that discussion. What are we going to do, and how are we going to handle it? But meanwhile, people are always interested in, if they're interested in cuts, they're often interested in cuts elsewhere. But we have to face it. But at the moment, there is a January 1st of 2011 date by which a revolution will start.
And at the same time, we're looking at the ending of tax cuts. So we could have like a triple whammy going here.
Well, it's going to be an interesting time.
Yeah,
I don't think
it?
We're going to be bored, but I am. The problem with healthcare is it's one thing to discuss. Some of this stuff is distant and far, but ultimately there has to be a phone that gets answered when you have a problem, or you need a referral to a particular type of specialist from your internist, or your internist has to be able to get a new employee or a new physician in his office, and if you can't get it, I mean, these are real things that have an immediate effect on your ability to survive and be comfortable.
Jeez. Okay, we got to take a break here. I'm glad this wasn't a Friday. This might have just ruined my whole weekend, but it gives me another day to pump up. But this is a serious crisis that we could be facing, depending on how our government takes care of it here very soon. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. We didn't get to play it. What happened there, Bob?
There you go.
My favorite.
Back down.
You're running a little
no,
closer.
I won't. Back down.
Right, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott at the last segment. Today is brought to you by VNT Satellite right off Airport Road, 244-1988. Doug Tullio put in Dish Satellite for you. Guarantees his work. He's a local guy, veteran. We have him at supplying Dish Satellite for us, and we're very happy with it. It's 244-1988, VNT Satellite. Our guest is Dr. Doug McConnell, a cardiac surgeon here. And we've been talking about what could happen if they don't reinstate the money in the budget for health care and for Medicare. It could have a tremendous impact on everybody, on all of us. But it's not all completely bad news. Right?
Well, no. I mean, we've been discussing the truth is, in my type of practice, Medicare makes up a vast majority of the patients. So, obviously, we're affected by this. There's other types of physicians and practices that don't nearly have the Medicare change in reimbursement doesn't affect them at all. Pediatrician, for example, or obstetrician. So, the comments I'm saying are really related to those practices, cardiology, cardiac surgery, that really directly care for seniors. So, and my concern isn't, just the idea of the physician reimbursement is the term attached to it, but the truth is that's the income by which these practices, which are businesses, survive, and that's how they pay their employees and rent space, and each one of these is a small business that depends upon an income stream. That's the only way they answer the phone, and so it's more of a business approach I'm looking at. That said, I've been in Reading now for 18 months. I've been very impressed with the medical community in this town, their dedication to the people in town, and I don't mean to cast the wrong image here that the physicians are just thinking about this pay increase. It's not our pay. It's really the income and capital that flows into a healthcare infrastructure that is very critical to the city of Reading to have the physicians and the specialists available to everybody. So this, when the government tweaks, it's he who has the gold rules or the golden rule is very much here. When the government decides to cut reimbursement, it's going to affect a super segment or a sub-segment of the healthcare infrastructure and these practices within this town and anywhere in California or the country. And they've been well stressed over the last 8 to 10 years already. And this, I worry about this being the final straw.
Yeah.
So I don't mean to be negative in the sense that the physicians in town are very dedicated to the people and the community, and I've been very impressed with that. I'm proud to be part of that. It's just that this is an upcoming problem. But, again, Reading is blessed with two good medical centers and a good medical staff throughout the town that I've seen. And that's the positive, and I think that will change. The truth is, for most physicians, this is a vocation.
Turkey trot.
Ah, yes. Well, moving on to other positive things, I want everybody in the community to remind one of the great days for the Reading community to celebrate not only Thanksgiving and your family is coming up rapidly on Thanksgiving morning. It was sponsored by Shasta Regional Medical Center, where I'm tied in. But the truth is it's about Reading and it's about Thanksgiving. And my wife and I were able to participate last year, and that was just one great morning of getting together with people and enjoying the Riverwalk.
I think that's a good way to close us out. We have Bruce, you're on the line, but we've run out of time here. Call us at 5 till next time, and we can get it in.
Sorry, Bruce. I'd love to talk to you about it.
If you have a question for the good doctor, just tell Bad Bob, and he'll be glad to talk to you.
Or call my office.
Or call his office, right. And how do they call your office?
Well, 242-6122.
And you're in the...
it's McConnell. It's just like the foundation, but it's just not mine. I wish it were.
Well, thanks a lot.
Oh, my pleasure. And I think this is just a great town, good place, and I'm glad to be part of Reading. And thank you for all the folks who have helped us.
Well, it is a great town, and we're really glad that we're here. Tomorrow we're going to have on private investigators. We're going to be talking about a number of things, but a lot of it's going to be trying to catch up with all the stuff that's going on in this state and this country tomorrow. So join us at 7 o'clock for 2 hours of Free Fire Radio. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You've been listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.